Welcome to the worship of God here at Danville Congregational Church. We are an open, affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. We're a people of extravagant welcome. No matter what you look like, talk like, think like, vote like, move like, sing like, or love like, you are welcome here, for this is God's house, and all people are welcome in God's house. A special welcome to any visitors that we might have among us. We're so glad that you've chosen to worship with us this morning. Following today's service, we'll have a greeter outside the double doors that you came in with a red bag. This is just a special gift that we'd like to send you on your way with. And whether you're new or you feel new or you've been with us your entire life, we have the blue friendship pads in each pew, and we invite you just to sign in, let us know of your presence with us this morning, and then pass it down the row to your neighbor. Here at Danville Congregational Church, we're a people that believe in prayer, and today, later in the service, we'll have an opportunity to lift up our prayers of joy and our prayers of concern. And to include you all in that, we have the prayer cards in each pew, and we invite you to fill out your joy or concern on the prayer card, and then later in the service, an usher will come by to collect those. And then following worship, everyone's invited just to join us next door in Koinonia Hall for a time of coffee, conversation, and community. We have several announcements this morning. The first is that with everything that's going on in our world right now with the coronavirus, we're encouraging people today in worship to do what's comfortable for you and greeting another. So if that is shaking their hand and the other person consents to that, you are invited to shake their hand. But if you feel more comfortable just greeting one another verbally without any sort of touch, please feel encouraged to do so during this time. We're in the season of Lent, and you might see some different art installations in the back of the sanctuary. These will be up for the entire season of Lent. There are various artistic interpretations on scripture that we'll be meditating on and reflecting on throughout this Lenten season. And so we encourage you to come maybe a little early to church on Sunday morning for some peace and quiet here in our sanctuary and to look at the art. You're also invited to come during the week. We're here during the week, people. Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 3, the office is open, and so you're invited to come in here and have some time for yourself and to meditate on the art that's available to you. Just a quick note, there was a typo in the bulletin. The women's group that was supposed to meet this Tuesday, they're in fact meeting on March 17th. And so if you are interested in attending that women's group, just be sure to mark your calendar for March 17th. And that change. After worship, we'll be having our commissions meeting today. Also, in the peace room, we'll have a visitor info session. So if you're a visitor here among us and you want to learn a little bit more about Danville Congregational Church and the United Church of Christ, and maybe you want to meet a few new people, we invite you to come to the peace room at 11 a.m. It's just down the corridor to the left over here. We'll be in there ready to greet you. And then finally, DCC has been providing Easter baskets for our community for 33 years. And so we're going to begin taking signups for those Easter baskets beginning next Sunday, March 15th. There's a list of items that we need for these Easter baskets, and they're located on page 10 in your bulletin. So I invite you to consult that and to pray about giving to our Easter basket drive. The Easter baskets will be donated to the Rainbow Community Center and Hope Solutions, which is the former CCIH, an organization that our congregation has a long history with. Beloved friends, congratulations. You made it to worship on time. You sprung forward. Let us give thanks for God for that gift. And let us join together in worship.
Good morning. All the purple means it's Lent, a time that Christ used for discernment on his walk, not to avoid the cross, but to it. And the gospel for today is going to tell us about Nicodemus and how, in order for him to find what he wanted, he had to be born again and shaped anew by water and the Spirit. This rock began as a collection of minerals in a hot place, but its final shape has been given to it by the rocks around it and the water. So the worship that I am here to invite you to this morning is the way in which we gather in God's house on Sunday morning, not just to worship, but to begin our worship, to begin the week with the support and the shaping of what we experience here together, to worship God in the way that today's gospel will inform us. So please now join me in the call to worship. And after I say, "All are welcome here," you say, "All are welcome here, the sinner and saint, those who seek forgiveness, and those who long for peace. All are welcome here, the hurt and the doubting, those who know the wilderness, and those who feel lost. All are welcome here, for you are loved by God, and this is God's house." Amen. And with that, let us pass the peace of Christ to one another, and it's enough to look into those people's eyes and share your love of being here together this morning.
You may be seated. I invite you now to join me in our prayer of confession found in your bulletin. God, we give you our hearts. They are brimming with doubt and are saturated with fear, but we give them to you anyway, for you promise to love us as we are. You promise to walk with us to the ends of the earth. So in this moment, we promise to tell the truth. God, you ask us to be brave and bold, but we cower in fear. You ask us to love our neighbors as ourselves, but we hold tight to privilege and the status quo. And you ask us to risk it all to follow you, but we are content with the injustices at hand. Forgive us for our sin and lift our eyes to you. Lift our eyes to the hills. Gratefully we pray. Amen.
We're so blessed to be in a place where lifting our eyes to the hills is so beautiful at this time of year. And now from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to that we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things, and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." We ask God to bless what this reading has said to us this morning.
I'd like to invite any children that we might have among us to come forward for our time with children with Ms. Kim. We're going to use the yellow mic, Brett.
Hi, good morning. Oh, I'm so, I lost one of my own children. There they are. Harold, they're here. It's not a good start. I'm so happy. Hi, Emilio, to see you all today and this week. This week has been a doozy. It's been a big week. And I wonder, are any of you involved in things outside of like school and church? Do you play sports or do activities? Yeah. What do you do, Emilio?
I play basketball.
Awesome. How about you, Cole? Baseball. Tranny? Baseball. How about you guys? What do you do? Jasmine? Dancing. A little birdie said dancing. Well, those are all super great things. And gymnastics, awesome. And I get to do a lot of things too, which is wonderful. And they're good, great things. But sometimes it can be pretty overwhelming. And this week was pretty overwhelming. And so one thing that I wanted to tell you is that when I was a little girl, I used to get easily overwhelmed, as always have been. And my mom used to always say, Kimmy, take a deep breath. Thumbs up if anyone's ever told you to take a deep breath. Yeah, yeah. And I would do it, and I would feel better. But this week, I took a different kind of breath, and I want to teach you, because it was pretty amazing. So, Cole knows, because we already talked about this. So this week, what I did is, I want to show you, I want all of us to get a chance to do this. So I want you to take your right hand and put it kind of over your heart, just like this. Thank you, everybody. And then, I'm going to put my mic down. I already feel better. And maybe next time when you're at your basketball game or your dance performance or if you're going up to pitch, boys, and if you're feeling a little overwhelmed, like I get a lot, you can stop and take a little breath and remember that you're loved and you're cared for always. Okay? So will you pray with me? Okay. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us the ability to connect our minds and our bodies. Thank you for the peace that comes from within, knowing that we are loved and cared about no matter what is going on. We pray this in your name. Amen. Thanks. You can go to Kali Play with Miss Trish.
Our poetry prayer for this morning was written by the Reverend Sarah R., and it's entitled, The Wilderness is a Place for Mystery and the Unknown, and you can follow along on page 3 in your bulletin. It's only in the wilderness that you can see the stars. That's what city living has taught me. We can shine a light on the things we want to see. Fluorescent and bright, lighting up dark alleys. However, it's only in the wilderness that you can see the stars. And it's only in the dark of night that the questions come. What is my purpose here? What does God have to say to me? What does God have to say to suffering? The sun falls and the doubt rises. For it's only in the dark that the questions come. So like Nicodemus in the night, I will throw my big questions at the sky. And my voice will reverberate among the stars. And my questions will echo through the dark. For there in the night, my words form constellations. And there in the wilderness, my prayers form galaxies. So even there in the unknown, I trust that I am found. A light shines in the darkness, friend. So if ever you are in the wilderness, look up and find the stars. Let's join together in a spirit of prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us now. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts together be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this morning I need to start with telling you the truth. This chapter of the Gospel of John we just read easily makes the top five list of my favorite passages of Scripture. I think I've told you that before. Nicodemus is one of my favorite reoccurring characters in all of the Bible. I love John chapter 3, even with all its exegetical and theological uncertainties. I've read these words many hundreds of times over the years, especially in seminary. I barely needed to look at the words that were printed in your bulletin this morning because these words have carved a space within me. I know them by heart. I knew what they said even before I wanted to work on this sermon. I was certain of their content. Just as certain of their content as Nicodemus is of his knowledge at the outset of his conversation with Jesus. But such certainty does have a price. Such certainty, it can be dangerous. The moment I declare I am certain about what this wonderful story has to say, in the same moment, I stop myself from gaining any new wisdom. The moment Nicodemus says, "Rabbi, we know," is the same moment he signals to Jesus he has no desire to listen to the rest of Jesus' teaching. For his part, Jesus hears this, "we know," and he starts to roll up his sleeves because he knows that he has a little work to do with this Nicodemus. Now, as their conversation progresses, Jesus shatters Nicodemus' certainty and he replaces it with a tentative and ardent curiosity, an uncertainty that will lead to new ideas and new growth and ultimately new life, an uncertainty that will lead Nicodemus from darkness and into light, and ultimately lead him to the foot of the cross. Like Nicodemus, we all crave certainty. It's biological. We are innately wired for certainty. Our ancestors moved from hunting and gathering to farming and homesteading because Well, the latter was just so much more predictable. And we follow that same instinct today when we allow that salesperson to tack on that 3-year warranty to whatever electronic we're about to purchase. And who hasn't gotten annoyed with the meteorologist who is certain it wasn't going to rain tomorrow? And then it does. We crave certainty. But each of us learns sooner or later in life that nothing is absolutely certain. The crops of our ancestors, they surely suffered drought. The computer sometimes breaks the day after that warranty expires. And there is a reason why there is an expression as variable as the weather. We crave certainty, and yet we live with uncertainty each day of our lives. And so, what might then our prayer be today? Should we pray for more certainty? Or should we pray for peace amidst all the uncertainty? Judging by Jesus' side of today's gospel story, he invites us to walk hand in hand with him into the ambiguity of the uncertain, into the dark wilderness of uncertainty, only to discover there, in the uncertainty, a truer, brighter, more abundant life. But let's get back to our friend Nicodemus for a moment. As a Pharisee and as a leader of the Jewish council, Nicodemus would have been something of a judge for his people. Rather than asking questions, Nicodemus would have been used to answering those questions. Rather than embracing uncertainty, Nicodemus would have seen it as his duty to project a certain certainty about everything. For the noble cause of keeping public morale high during foreign occupation, if for nothing else. And yet, there's something about Jesus that pierces Nicodemus's certainty. After all, this Pharisee undertakes a scandalous nighttime journey to rendezvous with such an upstart rabble-rouser preacher as Jesus. Just before this, Jesus was recently made a spectacle of himself in the temple with the money changers and the animal sellers as he drove them out of the temple with a whip. But Nicodemus goes to Jesus all the same. Something compels him to go to Jesus. Even the desire to see Jesus must have been a small kink in Nicodemus's certainty. But when he arrives, his programming starts to kick in, and he projects that ingrained air of certainty that he is wired with. Now, even though he calls Jesus teacher twice in the opening statement, he proceeds to try to teach Jesus a little something. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Right away, Jesus confronts this certainty of Nicodemus. He might as well have said, "You know, do you?" But what he actually says is, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Well, that's sort of what he says, right? Because the same words might mean this: no one can see the kingdom of God without being born again. In this response, in this simple response, Jesus reaches for intentional ambiguity in order to start breaking Nicodemus out of his certainty. Jesus' words could mean either thing, being born from above or being born again, and I think that's just the way Jesus wants it. His ambiguity achieves just the result he's hoping for in that moment, because Nicodemus asks not but one, but two questions. Now, if you are certain about something, you do not ask questions. And so perhaps there's hope for this fellow yet, Jesus is thinking. And so Jesus feeds him a little more ambiguity. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. Not only do we not know from where the wind comes from, but even Jesus' choice of the word wind here, it could mean one of two things. It could mean breath or spirit. And so Jesus pulls Nicodemus deeper and deeper into this delicious ambiguity, and disused synapses begin to fire in Nicodemus' brain. And when Jesus is finished, there's this new fire in Nicodemus' eyes as he asks the most sincere and authentic and uncertain question in the entire gospel. How can these things be? How can these things be? In one short conversation, Jesus shatters Nicodemus' unrealistic and latent certainty, and he replaces it with a true and authentic and natural uncertainty of life. When next we meet Nicodemus later in the gospel, he is testing out this newfound uncertainty. He takes a risk in speaking out against members of his own council who want to break the rule and put Jesus to death. He doesn't quite declare himself a follower yet, but he's well on his way. And then the third and final time that we encounter Nicodemus, he is standing there in broad light of day helping Joseph of Arimathea take Jesus down from the cross and bury him in the tomb. In that moment, nothing is certain. Nothing is sure because Jesus has died, and yet they serve him anyway. From his first appearance until his last, Nicodemus models what I think the life of faith is. He sheds this armor of certainty when he meets Jesus, and he pulls on an armor of faith, for certainty, not doubt, is the opposite of faith. We all crave certainty in life, but in this life, we will never achieve it. Jesus knows this, and so he offers us something even better than certainty here. He offers us the gift of himself. A good friend of mine wants to find peace as the deep and abiding presence of God. And this is the gift that Jesus offers us. His abiding presence, his peace, a peace that thrives in the midst of uncertainty. When you feel uncertainty threatening to overwhelm you in the wilderness of life, I pray this morning that you will remember our friend Nicodemus, that you will remember Jesus teaching Nicodemus to embrace such uncertainty, because in such uncertainty, we discover our faith. And when we discover our faith, we also find the promises of God available to us throughout our lives. The promise that the deep and abiding peace of Christ will always and forever be traveling with you on your journey. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you.
Beloved friends, we come now to our time of prayer, where we lift up the joys and the concerns of the gathered community, the people of God. And so if you have a joy or concern this morning, I invite you to write it down on a card and to raise it high so that the ushers may collect it. After each petition is read, you're invited to respond with "Hear Our Prayer." Prayers from Kim Lawrence, prayers for our local teachers and administrators as we navigate the conflict in our district. Praying a solution that puts our students' needs at the forefront of decision making. God, in your mercy and grace. Prayers from Jim Conning in memory of Marion Conning, who would have been 78 years old today. God, in your love and peace. Prayers from Nancy Dowell, comfort to the Bridgemans. Heidi's mother passed away this week, exactly 3 months after Heidi's father passed away. God, in your peace and mercy. Prayers from Peggy Gerke, who writes, "This morning we pray for Greg Comstock, Peggy's son, who passed away Wednesday evening after many years of struggling with alcoholism. While he will be missed, the family is assured that Greg is at peace." God, in your mercy and peace. Let us join together now in a spirit of prayer. Good and gracious God, on this day we must begin with acknowledging that our hearts are thankful. When we reflect upon life, we can find a litany of things for which we are grateful for. We are grateful for stunning sunsets. We are grateful for green rolling hills. We are grateful for the quiet moments of the Lenten season. We are grateful for the mountains to which, when we look, we cannot but help but remember where our help comes from. When we reflect upon our faith, O God, we again find reason for gratitude. We thank you for the vision to which we have found in the life and in the ministry and the teachings of Jesus. We thank you for the self-giving love to which his life was committed and the ideal of loving others to which we have been called. Be also our Redeemer, O God, when we fall short of that ideal. When we feel enmity or hatred toward others, remind us of our need to love and to temper our spirit. When we act selfishly, remind us of our need to consider others. When we are seeking to impose our will upon others, remind us to listen and to hear the needs of those around us. And when we are inclined to keep the circle of those whom we love small, remind us that love demands a wider justice for all of God's people. Cause love to abound among us, O God, and cause it to be contagious for our world. Cause us to serve you with joy and with eager enthusiasm. For we pray this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our loving God, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Such a joy to be back with you after most of a two-month sabbatical in Carmel. And so now I get to invite you to the time of giving, but I always, at this point, am a little confused or wishing that we frame this not like giving, but as a capitalist like Elizabeth Warren would say, a time of investing. This is not a little gift we give just to keep the heat on. This is your way of investing in our worship and what we have the opportunity to become. So put what you can in the plate, but don't forget, especially now in Lent, a time when we can practice shaping what we want to do and be, that investing goes on all week long. And when we come back here next week, maybe you can think about what kind of investments you made after you left church. One of those kinds of investments came very clear to me last week when I spoke to a man who came from Iran to create a little sandwich shop in Alamo that is the most cherished institution that returning children who grew up in Alamo go to first thing when they come back. And he said to me, you know, I have known people coming into this shop for 35 years who have never called me by name. Just a little way that we can confront our giving, our investing, is to engage the people we meet in this next week and ourselves into the process of our politics and our community life and our families. This is the time of giving that I invite you to this morning after our ushers have brought forward the plates. Please come and collect our gifts. Thank you. in the breath of God, the wind that brings strength to the moving flowers and spreads water over all our earth. For the walk and lessons of Christ, we give thanks and we ask God to bless the offerings that we bring this morning and this week and the ways that we choose to be the light and color of spring and Christ's love into the world. Amen.
Wherever you may be, wherever you go on the journey, wherever you find yourself in the wilderness, go certain of the promises of God. Go certain that Christ goes with you. His deep and abiding presence and peace are with you today and every day. Thanks be to God. Amen.